Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. Our star this week is Janet Scott. The psychiatrists tell us of the very fine line dividing sanity and the troubled, shadowed world of the other side. They tell us how easy it is to cross that line, and that sometimes we aren't aware that it's been crossed. In our story this week, The Ghost of Danton Hill, a woman believes she has passed the line. But has she passed it or been pushed over it? Our story was written by Christopher Young and stars Janet Scott as Deidre Danton. Here now is Act One of The Ghost of Danton Hill.
It wasn't as though I hadn't heard them talking. I say them, when a singular pronoun would be more proper, for it was he who always did the talking, planning, scheming. And sweet child that my niece was, and you never suspected. But I knew. Creeping senility was his theme in talking about it. But Angie wouldn't accept it. Then he changed his tactics. So smooth he was, so impeccably persuasive. I knew his kind. My typewriter wrote of Gilbert long before I'd met him or Angie had married him. He was the villain in Springfield Revisited, even to the nightmares that Gilbert so often had. Oh, those were the days. My books at the peak of their popularity, and Mr. Danton still alive. Such a thing could never have happened to Deidre Danton then. Oh, why do I ramble so? The fact remains, he talks, and Angie listens.
Well, what do you think, Angie?
Gail, you know I'm not too bright about real estate or any of your business deals, for that matter.
Well, you get the picture, don't you?
Gail, is it honest?
When you're talking about business, the meaning of honesty broadens. If you mean, is it legal? Yes, 100%.
But you said that only 10 years ago, all of this property was underwater. What's to keep it from happening again?
Right now, the lake is at the lowest point in history. It would take 5 consecutive years of double that normal rainfall before that property would be underwater again. Do you know what odds there are against that happening?
Are there any more for the number of dry years it took to create this area?
Believe me, Angie, it's the chance of a lifetime. People want to invest in land, vacation property. Cabin sites are at a premium.
Oh, aren't you talking about the impossible anyway? $40,000!
Which could be resold at $400,000.
$40,000, Gil? You don't have $4,000.
Oh, sweetie. Sweetie, honey, you don't work with cash on deals like this. Some good legwork, planning, a little whining and dining, especially of the right man at the bank. And the whole deal is swinging for under $16,000.
Gil, that's a fortune, and you just don't have it.
So what am I supposed to do? Let the opportunity of a lifetime slip through my fingers because Auntie Deirdre insists on tying up a fortune in a box full of stodgy old stocks and bonds?
She's 73 years old. Her books don't sell the way they used to. You can't blame her for being conservative.
Oh, Angie, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. It's just that knowing she plans to leave everything to you and that it can't be forever before she either or becomes too senile to manage her own affairs, well, I just get impatient and frustrated.
Oh, I think that's why you keep having those nightmares and headaches all the time.
Look, honey, let me show you this. Charlie Keith, you remember him, the advertising artist we met last month?
Oh, at the Peterson party?
Yes, that's right. He did this layout for me. No charge. I promised to cut him in. You see this color picture of the area as it is now? Just empty meadows covered with wild grass. The lake and the mountains for a backdrop.
Well, the view is nice, but the property is so barren.
Now you're talking like my first customer. So watch. Here we have a piece of celluloid with a lifelike drawing of a few cabins, trees, rustic road. You take it, and you lay it on top of that first picture. Well?
Makes a big difference.
Well, that's the idea, Angie. We lure them with this ad. Then they get copies of this in the mail. People have no imagination. But show them this, and you got a sale.
Very clever.
The $16,000 I mentioned, that includes this as well as advertising space, mailing expenses, the whole bit.
Oh, if you want me to, Gil, I'll ask Aunt Dee.
Oh, it's a waste of time, and you know it.
I was thinking of taking a mortgage on the house.
Well, you can't do that, Gil. It's not ours.
Your aunt gave it to us, even put it in our name.
Which was only a beautiful gesture to show her regard for us. Put a mortgage on it, and it's the same as if you drew $16,000 from a personal account behind her back. Oh, please, Gil, I just won't hear of it. I mean it, Gil. As much as anything I've ever said to you.
Angie, honey, this is one chance to give you everything I've always wanted to give you.
Gil, it's an awfully big move. Your nightmares, headaches. What will happen with the pressure of a deal this size?
I don't know. I don't know, Angie, but I plan to find out. Somehow or other, I'm going to get that money.
It's a terrible thing to eavesdrop. It's a characteristic I've always despised. But I've never been alone before. Nor had anyone ever plotted against me before. I knew the time was coming. I knew by the desperation that was reshaping Gilbert's face before my very eyes. All his planning, scheming, and my money was the key to all his ambition.
Morning, Gil. I must have overslept.
You look so beautiful, I didn't want to wake you.
You don't have to say that. I'll make your breakfast anyway.
Well, to prove my sincerity, please note that I've already had breakfast. Oh. Not only that, but Auntie Dee joined me, and I'll have you know she said I boiled her eggs exactly right.
You must give me your secret.
Well, I used a stopwatch. But now, honey, to complete this generous gesture, let me pour your coffee, and then I'm going to get at the dishes.
Well, I'll take the coffee, but you can leave the dishes. Day girl comes this morning.
Oh, fair enough. Don't understand how you get through the morning on just a cup of coffee.
3 cups, thank you. How'd you sleep last night?
Had 2 dreams, both pleasant. Sure makes a difference in when I get up in the morning.
Good morning, Angie.
Oh, Gil. Morning, dear.
Such a beautiful day. I thought I'd make a fancy breakfast for us all.
What?
How about buttermilk pancakes and Canadian bacon? I'll put the coffee on. Oh, I've already made some. Well, I'll put another pot on.
Well, Aunt Dee, you know how Angie is. She can't get more than a cup of coffee in the morning.
Well, you and I can eat, and she can nibble a little.
But we... Well, that is, you and I just ate.
What do you mean?
Breakfast. I let Angie sleep, and I made his breakfast.
Sure you didn't have a dream, Gilbert?
I'll bet you fell back to sleep, Aunt Dee.
Nonsense,
but, Auntie, look at the sink. With the dishes. 2 cups used for coffee.
I see.
You just don't want Angie to know how perfectly I made those eggs for you.
Eggs? No, of course not.
Now, look, darling, we can prove the whole thing. Are you or aren't you hungry?
I'm not in the least hungry. I think I'll go work in the garden for a while.
How strange.
It's a little frightening.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Was the first thing that happened. Only a week later, I wanted to do some work, and my typewriter was missing. That evening, Gilbert reminded me that I'd asked him to take it in for an overhaul. Even Angie remembered my mentioning it needed work. But I would never have asked him to take it out during that period. I was in the middle of a very important chapter. But all they had to do was to remind me of the breakfast I had forgotten, and I could argue no longer. There were other things, forgotten things, lost things. And the talk continued, more and more of it. I had to know what they were saying about me. And so I'd sneak down the hall and listen through their door at night.
I'm really worried about her, Gil.
Well, things haven't been too easy for her since your uncle died. Honey, maybe she should have stayed upstate. All her friends are there.
Oh, I think when you get old, you want to be with your family. And Lord knows there are few enough of us left.
You were going to tell me about that letter from her brother.
Oh, yes, that was really weird. Well, you remember I told she had a brother, Wesley, who disappeared about 20 years ago?
Oh, yes, I remember.
Oh, disappeared sounds so melodramatic. He was a good man, according to Aunt Dee, but an alcoholic. There was something about the Salvation Army getting him off the liquor for a while, but when he went back to the bottle, he lost all his self-respect and told his wife she was better off without him.
Uh-huh.
Well, no one in the family could ever find him again. Anyway, this morning she was all excited. Said she got a letter from him. Well, you heard her. It was just before you left.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't suspect anything. I shared the excitement for a while. But then I asked to see the letter.
You mean there wasn't any?
Of course not. She imagined the whole thing, poor dear.
Fantastic.
Well, she is old. I remember how mixed up my grandfather would get in his last years. He'd refer to something he thought happened the day before when actually it had been 30 or 40 years. Oh, it's so sad, Gil. I always thought of her as being so alert. Actually young for her years.
Well, I guess I did, too. Of course, I won't deny if this keeps up, it puts us in a good position financially.
How can you think of things like that?
Well, I was just going to say, now that it's happening, I wish it hadn't.
Oh, I got a letter from Rita this morning.
Oh, your roommate in college?
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's in a real spot. She had her baby. Her husband is still overseas. And the baby nurse who was going to help out broke her leg. Skiing, of all things.
And sweet little Angie's going to play baby nurse for her closest friend.
You won't mind, will you? I'll only be gone a week or so, and oh, she's so alone. Both only children, and their parents in the middle of Iowa and Texas. I just can't say no to her, Gil.
Oh, of course, honey. And don't worry. I'll humor Aunt Dee along.
Oh, I'll worry about the both of you. Gil, I wish you'd see a doctor about those headaches and nightmares.
Well, I sure had a beaut last night.
I know. You talked in your sleep. Run, 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 you kept saying over and over again. In your dreams, Gil, what do you keep running from?
I don't know. I just don't know. Wherever I'm headed, it seems big and important, and yet I'm not happy there either. Angie, did you ever look at yourself and think, boy, you're clever? And yet hate yourself for it?
No.
Well, let's forget it, eh? Can you reach the lamp?
Pleasant dreams, darling.
Humor me alone. That was the way he put it. I'd outwitted a dozen of his kind in 300 pages. I was younger then. And now Angie was going to be hundreds of miles away for a week or longer. I was frightened, so very frightened. I slept late the following morning, waiting for Gilbert to leave. I had dinner ready the minute he came in, and each evening, as soon as the dishes were done, I found an excuse to leave. An early movie, research at the library, anything to avoid Gilbert. And even on the fourth night, when thunder warned me of a late spring storm, I called a taxi from the library just as it closed at 10. By the time I dismissed the cab at Denton Hill, the rain was coming down in torrents. I was surprised to see the house in total darkness. I feared for a moment that Gil had gone out, forgetting I never bothered to carry keys. His car was in the garage. I was almost relieved to know he was at home. I rushed up the walk and was soaked by the time I reached the front door. I could hear the bell inside as I pressed. The record playing was calling. Gilbert must have been having one of his headaches, for he always liked to play the masters while he waited for pain to subside. I rang the bell again, and again, and again. Lightning burned the night blue white, and somewhere I heard a dog barking. Why didn't he answer? Gilbert! Gilbert, let me in! I'm soaked! It's frightening out here! Gil! Gil, let me in! Why didn't he answer? The dog's box turned to howls. And then a sudden bolt of lightning outlined a figure all in black, its arms raised, not 10 feet away from my own front porch. Gil! Gilbert, please! Please, let me in! Let me in!
That was Act One of The Ghost of Danton Hill, starring Janet Scott as Deidre Danton. To most human beings, the unknown is a fearful thing, full of haunting terrors, misty shapes, and weird sounds conjured up primarily by man's own overactive imagination. We think of the unknown as evil, but if we analyze the word unknown, we find it means merely not known. That experience is lacking on a certain subject. This does not constitute a logical basis for fear, yet you and I still fear the unknown. We have to be taught not to. The Salvation Army constantly works with the unknown in all its varied forms, and yet does not fear it. One of their jobs is to show us why we needn't fear it either. Because they and we believe in the power of one about whom was written, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. With this strength, the unknown becomes no longer evil and fearful, but simply not known. Simple and effective. Try it. Now, Act Two of The Ghost of Danton Hill, starring Janet Scott.
Sorry, Angie, but I had to ask you to come home right away.
You said something about hallucination.
Well, I don't know what else to call it. She went out right after dinner last night, but was only gone an hour. It was obviously going to storm, and I guess she figured she'd better get home. She went right to bed.
Well, that'd be about 8 o'clock.
Yes. Well, it started about 10:30. She was screaming from her room, something about, Gil, let me in, please let me in. I tried to talk to her, and she went into this wild story about being locked out in the rain, pounding on the door.
Oh, that poor dear.
And there was something about a dog howling, and to top it off, she said there was some black figure threatening her, like a ghost, she said.
I can hardly believe it.
Well, I didn't know what to do. I figured I'd better call the doctor.
Of course.
He gave her a sedative, and, well, that was maybe midnight. About one, I realized I just had to call you.
Well, I better be in there when she wakes up.
Oh, Angie. Angie, honey, I left out some of the details, the accusations she made against me. I don't see any reason to go into them, but I don't know if I can take much more of this.
I'll talk to the doctor. I guess we'll have to do something.
Well, if you're going in there, I better put on some more coffee.
Oh, I'd love some.
Well, just prepare yourself for anything she may say.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
I'm not asleep, Angie. I've been praying for you to come home.
Is there anything I can get you?
No.
Well, here. Let me fix the pillow for you. There, now.
It seems like it was all a dream, no?
Oh, that's probably all it was.
But it was so real, so terrifying.
Gil's dreams are that way, too.
I can't help wondering about myself. It seems only yesterday when I thought of anyone of 73 years old as being weak of mind, feeble, crumbling. I don't feel that way, Angie. Really, I don't.
And you're not.
I'm not sure anymore. You're all I have in the world. Such a small family, so few of us left. I need you, Angie. I need you for encouragement. Tell me I'm not just a foolish old woman. Tell me.
Oh, now that's absolute nonsense, and you know it.
Do I? I have to think about it, Angie. I have to do lots of thinking. A person losing his sanity is not necessarily aware of the fact himself. I wasn't ready to accept it. These things could all be explained. Gil could have lied about the typewriter. He could even have written a letter from Wesley and then destroyed it. For all I knew, he was the shadowy figure on the porch. I had to know. And then I thought of Brian. Wesley's son, Brian Peck. Why, he'd be in his 30s, Santa Barbara. He was married and living in Santa Barbara, California. If he was anything like his father, he'd be a good man. He would come and get me, take me to California. I called the long-distance operator, and she found a listing for him. Then at bedtime, I set my little alarm for 5 a.m. It would be 8 or 9 in California, I wasn't sure. But at least Angie and Gil would be sleeping.
Well, Andy, I just don't know what to say. These things you told me about,
They're unbelievable, Brian. I realize that. And I'll admit I'm not sure whether they're actually happening or I'm imagining them. Or Gilbert is carrying out a diabolical scheme.
Well, I've got to do something. It's been years since I've seen you, but I never forget how much time and money you spent trying to locate Dad when he disappeared.
Oh, I think of Wesley so often. I just know he'll turn up one of these days.
Turn up? Well, Andy, didn't you get my letter last month?
Letter?
About Dad. He came back to us just last February. He was a very sick man. He passed away a month ago.
Oh, no. No, Brian, I never saw the letter.
Well, from what you already told me, I know I had the right address. I located you through your publisher.
Brian, you have to help me. I just can't travel by myself. But if you'll come for me, I'll pay all your expenses.
Well, Auntie, it's almost impossible. I'm in missile work for the government, and... Well,
I might be able to swing 2 days, one to fly there and one to fly back with you.
Fly? Oh, no. No, I couldn't do that. It was just last year I lost your uncle in a plane accident. I just couldn't...
Oh, look, Annie, I'm late now, but I promise you I'll do something. I think I have an idea, though it's impossible.
Brian. Hello, Brian, are you there? Hello, operator, someone. Hello, Brian. I lay there thinking. It didn't really bother me that we were cut off, if that's all that it was. The first light of dawn appeared through the window. I'd closed my eyes and tried to sleep some more. He would help. Brian would help me. I'd hardly noticed the steps in the attic above when I heard the voice.
Sure.
The very words, the very sound my dear husband had muttered so often in his sleep. Over and over they echoed through the room. I kept telling myself, Deirdre, you're dreaming. Wake up. Deirdre, wake up. Please, wake up.
Pour me some, too, will you, Gil?
Full cup?
Mm-hmm. You had trouble sleeping again last night, didn't you?
I know. Why?
Well, I thought I heard you get up.
Oh, well, I had a little indigestion and I got something for it.
Oh. I think I'll bring Auntie her breakfast in bed.
That won't be necessary, Angie.
Oh, morning, darling.
I want you to make an appointment for me with a doctor, a psychiatrist.
Auntie D, what's this all about?
And you'd better have my lawyer drop by here, too.
Auntie, what is it?
But during the night... Well, no matter. I guess I'm older than I realize.
I'll call Dr. Jeffries right away if you want me to. I'm sure he can recommend someone.
I'd appreciate it.
Oh, honey, you'll have to wait till I get downtown and call the phone company.
Is it out of order?
Since last night. I tried to make a call about 10:30, and I checked it just 10 minutes ago. It's still on the blink.
You mean the phone hadn't been working all that time?
Afraid not.
Angie, please do what I asked you as soon as you can. Please. It happened again the very next night. Only this time I was ready for it. I was sick, and soon would be seeing someone who would help me. That's all it was. The voice was in my mind. It had to be. Mr. Danton was dead for over a year. There are no such things as ghosts. Danton Hill wasn't haunted. I was.
Hello?
Is Mrs. Deirdre Danton there, please?
Well, she's resting right now. This is her niece. May I help you?
Oh, perhaps. I'm Major LaSalle of the Salvation Army here in town.
Oh, yes, Major LaSalle. I believe we've met. I was a guest at the Home League meeting several weeks ago.
Well, I just learned that your aunt is the Deirdre Danton, and I'm about to take advantage of a celebrity in our community. Are you familiar with the League of Mercy activities?
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, it's not too unlike the Home League in some respects, although men are welcome in this group, too. We visit hospitals and rest homes and... Well, simply try to spread a little cheer wherever we can.
Which sounds like a wonderful old-fashioned idea. I thought that kind of thinking had gone out of style.
Well, anyway, whenever possible, we try to secure a guest speaker whom we feel would be an inspiration. We have a meeting coming up at the Crestview Senior Citizens Home, and we'd consider it an honor and a privilege if your aunt would speak about her work.
Oh, I hate to answer for her. She hasn't been too well, and... Well, yet, this might do wonders for her. Would you mind dropping over and talking to her about it?
Why, I'd love to. Would this afternoon be all right?
Well, I think so. I have some shopping to do, but I'll tell Aunt Dee to expect you.
Thank you very much, and I do hope we meet soon.
Mrs. Danton, I suspect I've made you talk more than you wanted to.
No, not at all. I feel better just having told you everything that happened.
And I'm afraid I deliberately led you into talking about yourself.
Deliberately?
Mrs. Danton, I'm most sincere in wanting you to lecture for the League of Mercy. But I will admit that the invitation was, something of a device to meet you.
That's very flattering, but it was hardly necessary.
No, I don't think you understand. You see, all the recent events you've just told me about were made known to me before I came here.
Angie's talked to you?
No. Brian, your nephew.
What?
You see, you didn't imagine the phone call to him. It took place. So naturally, I can't help believing that there's an explanation for everything that took place.
I didn't imagine the phone call?
With your permission, I'd like to talk to my husband about this.
Yes. Anything you say?
Now, it won't be possible to check on everything. And, playing Sherlock Holmes is a little out of my line, but... Now, there are only two cabs in this town. Jess Purdy's and Sam Allen's. I'm sure we can find out what time either one of them brought you home from the library the night of the storm.
And if it was after 10, then I didn't imagine that either.
No.
Excuse me, but I'm still a little confused. Brian must have called you.
Yes, of course. We've never met, but he's quite active as a volunteer in Salvation Army work. And he has a long list of personal experiences with the Army.
And he asked you to look into my situation.
Evidently, his hands were tied, but ours aren't.
And I'm beginning to feel mine aren't either. Major LaSalle, you can count on me for that League of Mercy program next week. And so, my friends, you can see my characters are all quite fictional. Consider, for example, the book I'm beginning right now. It's the story of an ambitious man. A man who stopped at nothing to better his own material wealth. A man who deceived his lovely wife. A man who played ghost and tried to frighten the very life out of an elderly woman by such unlikely devices as recordings that he played from the attic in the middle of the night. A sick man. Hardly the type of thing that ever really happens. I only hope the ending isn't too unbelievable. For the victim of his insidious plot decides not to bring charges against him. Instead, the elderly woman decides to find for him the medical and psychiatric help she was convinced she needed for herself. Hardly a conventional ending for a novel of this sort, but it was inspired by the person to whom the book will be dedicated. Your own Mrs. Major LaSalle, a Salvationist dedicated to your well-being and the well-being of all people in need all over the world. A woman who, like Salvationists everywhere, fights evil with love. It's strange, but an enemy confounded with this unique weapon usually finds joy in his own vanquishment.
That was the final act of The Ghost of Danton Hill, starring Janet Scott as Deidre Danton. Listen again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Heartbeat Theater is a presentation of the Salvation Army and is one of the programs selected to be heard by her men and women overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening and have a happy week ahead.
Copyright Golden AB.